Any, have you guys got anything else?
An ambassador. That's correct. It is a representative. Does anyone want to go into more detail about what an ambassador is?
Okay.
The definition of an ambassador, I'm going to read it again because Dave spoke about it the other day, is this. A diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by one sovereign to another as its representatives. So the verse we were looking at is, we are Christ's ambassadors. How crazy is that? We're sent by Christ here to earth by the one sovereign God to be his representatives on earth. Is there anyone higher than God? God's the highest. He's the King of Kings, isn't he? So God has commissioned us to be his ambassadors here on earth. That excites me. That really excites me. Because it means that God has chosen me to do his works on earth. And he hasn't left me by myself. He's actually set me up so that I can prosper, that I can do incredible things because of him. So we're going to go through that now, and we're going to look at who we are and what God has promised us. You're going to notice that I love Bible verses. I love backing up everything I talk about with scripture. So who has their Bible with them today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I have maybe 7 Bibles down here. I want you guys to pick one up if you haven't got one. So the first 7 people to come down and get one, have them. I also want you to pick up one of the pens at the front, because the verses we're going to be looking at today are going to be verses that you can declare over yourself, that you can speak over yourself, because it's truth. And you know how some people can speak kind of horrible words over someone, how it can affect that person? It's exactly the same the other way as well. If you speak truthful words, loving words over each other and encouraging words over each other, they will start affecting that person. So if you start saying to someone like, you're awesome at doing this, you're awesome at doing this, they're going to start thinking, I'm awesome at doing this, I'm awesome at doing this. And that's what I want to do today. So what God is saying to us is in the Word, right? So what we're going to highlight in the Word today is what God is saying to each of you, what God has already done for each of you, so that you know who you are. Okay, so the first one is ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's cool, eh? We just had the definition of an ambassador. Someone sent by a sovereign person. Someone who is the highest of highs, because we're sent by God, aren't we? So I am a representative of God. I'm not a representative of the Queen of England. You're not a representative of Barack Obama. You could be in the future. I'm not going to take that away from you. But right at this moment, right in this time, you are all ambassadors of Christ. You are representatives of God here on earth to everyone around you. Next one. You are princes and princesses. So you guys want to go to 1 Timothy 6:15? Has someone got it? 1 Timothy 6:15. When you got it, raise your hand. Cool.
Which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't he? Now, the one underneath, what I want to look at, the prince, princesses, children and sons and daughters are all connected with each other, because we are children of God. God has adopted us as his children. And because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what does that make me? A prince. It's an inheritance from God, isn't it? If God is a king and he's the king above all other kings, and I'm his son, that makes me a prince. It makes you a princess. It makes you a prince. So we are all princes and princesses in front of God. We are all sons and we are all daughters because he has adopted us as his children. So does someone want to find Galatians 3:26?
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Did you guys get that? Have you ever read that verse before? You are all sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy, and I love it. I'm a son of God. Like, sweet, what can I do? God, I'm a son. Like, you are the greatest. You're far above all these things. What can I do? What can I do? And we're going to get onto that stuff in the weeks coming up as well, that God has not left us alone in this place, that he's with us. But today I just want to really write on your hearts, and I want God to really write on your hearts who you guys are. So we're sons and daughters. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Does everyone know what a will is? To want something? What about pleasure? What do you think about when I say eating a piece of chocolate cake really brings me pleasure? So if I said the word, what brings you pleasure? What would you think of? Soccer? Keep naming things, keep shouting them out. Football? Hockey? Rugby? Okay, so we've got sports so far. Does anyone else like anything but sports? But it's things that you love, isn't it? It's things that you desire and you want, and you spend time seeking these things, don't you? Because you love them so much. You love watching them. You love being with people that play those sports. You love hanging out and actually playing the sports yourself and things, don't you? And that verse right there says that it was God's pleasure and will for you to become sons and daughters. It was God's pleasure that you would become a son of Him. And it was His will. It's what He's destined for each of you and for everyone else as well. He's destined for us to become His children. The next one we've got is heirs and co-heirs. Who knows what an heir is? Not air that you breathe. I'm talking about like that air, the H air.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton. Brilliant. Okay. Has anyone else got a different answer? If I was Prince William, does everyone know who Prince William is here? Is Prince William an heir? What is he an heir of? To the throne of England. That's pretty sick, isn't it? I like that. I wouldn't mind being Prince William or Prince Harry just so I could inherit the throne of England. But there's someone that's above the Queen, isn't there? And we've already talked about this. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God. He's our Father. And He has made me, because I am a son, I'm a prince, He has made me an heir of the heavenly kingdom. He has made me an heir of His kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom of God? If I mention the word kingdom of God to you, what do you think of? So there's a kingdom in heaven, and we're on earth. What do you picture when you think of the kingdom of heaven? Clouds? Awesomeness? I picture angels. I picture God sitting on a throne and me being in His presence. I picture a place where there is no sickness whatsoever. I picture the most perfect place that there can possibly be, because God is only good. There is no bad in God. There is no sin in God. Sin cannot even stand close to God. What are you guys thinking of right now? What other things can you think of in heaven and in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? A residence? Did you know that Jesus said to all of you that I am going to prepare a room for you in my Father's house? Sweet. That's very cool. Who's thinking of the Hilton Hotel right now? Maybe a 5-star hotel, something like that, 6-star hotel? There's one 7-star hotel, isn't there, in Dubai? I'd love to go there, but it's a bit too much money. But the fact is, God's house that He has prepared for me is literally going to be like 100 million times bigger than the Hilton Hotel. And that's not just for me and you guys, that's just for me. That's just for me. This is what God has said to me. I'm preparing a house for you in my kingdom. And because God has got so much blessing, because He's got so much love, I know that it's going to be far beyond anything that I can even imagine here on earth. And it's funny how we pick a hotel, isn't it? Why would we pick a hotel like the Hilton Hotel? Why would we not pick something like Buckingham Palace, where a prince would live? But it is. Buckingham Palace is only for the Queen and the Prince. But what I'm saying is, God has promised me a dwelling place in heaven. He has prepared a place for me in heaven, and I'm a prince. So I'm going to have something spectacular like Buckingham Palace. Okay, what's next? Strangers here on earth. Can someone look up Hebrews 11 verse 13? You got it, Josh? Hebrews 11.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Did everyone get that? Strangers here on earth. Now, why would someone say that they're a stranger here on earth? Come on, guys, what have I just literally told you? Our home is not here. Did you hear that? Our home is not here. Where's our home? Pointing upwards, in the sky. Buckingham Palace, I like it. Our home is in heaven, isn't it? So this is going back to the olden days, to the promises of like Abraham and things like that. They knew. They had the realization and the revelation that they were strangers here on earth, that they only had a part of time, a part of their life here on earth, because their home was in heaven. They knew that their place, they knew that where they should be is in heaven. And their time here on earth was only, let's say, limited. Their home was in heaven. They were strangers here on earth. blameless and righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Do you guys hear that? He who knew no sin, who's that? Jesus died for us to take all sin. Okay, so let's just quickly picture this. Imagine the last 2,000 years just gone. How much sin do you think happened in the last 2,000 years? 3 billion? You can just chuck numbers at me. It's uncountable, isn't it? But he actually said that I have died for your sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. That's massive. But the man who knew no sin, Jesus, who took all our sin, died for us that we may become the righteousness of him to God. Now what that means is God sees us as a man who knows, or a woman who knows, no sin. He sees us as if sin has never even touched us, as in sin has never even come close to us, because we do not even know what it is. Is that exciting to you guys? Does that amaze you guys? Because that amazes me. God sees me right now as righteousness, because Jesus died for me. I am righteous because of what Jesus has done for me. Next, the aroma of God. 2 Corinthians verse 15. Has anyone got it? Man, Josh is on the ball today. Someone else. You guys are going to see the verses coming up, so hold on, Josh, I'm going to go over here. You guys are going to see the verses coming up today, so I want you to just pick a verse and open it to that, okay?
For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing.
That's it. This is one verse we're going to come back to at the end as well. You are the aroma of God to those who are around you, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. What's an aroma? A smell. You are the smell of God. Has anyone ever been in a meeting where they've smelt an aroma of God, of the heavens? Yeah? Fresh Wind Camp, what happened? It was like honey and vanilla. How cool is that? What God is saying is, you represent me. You represent me. You represent me so much that you are the aroma of me here on earth. What comes out of you? So, you know how you can never see a smell? You can only ever smell a smell? You can sometimes, but like most of the time you can't see the smell that you're smelling, can you? But if I was standing about this far away from Belinda, who's at the back, I could still smell her if she didn't shower for like 2 weeks, couldn't I? You can smell from miles away, can't you? You can smell like a burning fire, burning tires. You can smell a bonfire, can't you, from miles away, because the smell drifts. That's you. You carry upon you an aroma which people can see and smell. People will notice it from a mile away. People will notice it from 2 miles away. Have you ever heard that before? Okay. So you are the aroma of God. Let's go to the next one, Dave. What has God promised me? I shouldn't have put a list up, should I? I should have asked you guys, what has God promised me? Let's go through it. Eternal life. God has promised me an eternal life in heaven. He's promised me rest. Do you guys know in Matthew 11? Jesus says, come to me all those who have a heavy burden and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my work is light. He wants to give you rest. These are things that God has promised us. I couldn't write down all the things that God has promised us because they're so vast. As you read your Bible, you'll find that all these promises that God has just start standing out to you. God's promised me love. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. God loves me. He's promised me prosperous plans, a hope, and a future. God only has good things for you guys. Now, if I say God only has good things for you, what do you think of? Chocolate cake, season tickets to places. What else? God only has good things for you guys. What do you think of? Your wildest dreams come true. Wings. Guys, God loves to give you gifts. God loves to give you blessings. And this is a part of what God has promised you. But what we're looking at today is God is pleading through you. But what we need to know is who we are for God to plead through us, right? If you didn't know who you are, if you didn't know that you're a son or a daughter, or if you didn't know that you're a prince or a queen or a king, how can you influence like a prince or a princess does? Have you guys seen Prince William when he's on the move? When do you see Prince William? On TV. He's normally representing the army or someone, isn't he? He's normally speaking out for people that cannot speak. He's normally standing up for a cause at the front of a huge place which gets on the TVs all over the world. and he may just speak one sentence. The only reason he just has that at the palm of his hands is because he's a prince. So what I'm saying is, you guys are princes and princesses as well. You're sons and your daughters and your ambassadors. You can do this as well if you know who you are in God. Let's go to the next one, Dave. Did you know that God has emotion? Who knew that God had emotion? What emotion? Don't read that. What emotion do you think that God has? Joy, crying, wept. Stop reading those up there. There's many more than those. Anger. What emotions do you think God has? Jealousy? I don't know. Actually, yeah, kind of. In a weird way. That's, we'd have to talk about that a bit more. But he desires you so much, doesn't he? He desires you so much that he's like crying out. And so what we're trying to get to is, how much is God crying out? How much do you feel that God is crying out for you right now? If you're a father or a mother and your son disappears for a day or your daughter disappears, what do you think you do? Cry? You cry, you pray? If I lost my kid, if I lost like a son or one of my sons or one of my daughters, I don't actually have any kids yet, but I hopefully will have two. But if I lost one of my kids, I would be doing everything and anything that I can to try and find them. I call up the police, I call 911 within a minute. They may just literally be around the corner, I just can't see them, so I think they're lost. But I call 911 and I would go chasing. I would scream at the top of my voice down my street, down my road. I would wake up all my neighbors. I would do everything because I've lost my son or my daughter and they're so precious. I would get up. I would wake up everyone at 2 o'clock in the morning. I would kick them out the door and say, you've got to help me because my son and my daughter is missing. Do you think those people would help me? Maybe not kick them out the door, but they would. If they knew me, yeah, they'd help me, wouldn't they? Their love and their passion, their love to see me find my son or my daughter would also come through them, wouldn't it? They would want to see my son or my daughter found because of the torment that is covering me and the love that they have for that child as well. So God has emotion. Who knows about the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son in Luke. Yeah, the son who left home, went and did his own thing, didn't he? Spent all his money, didn't he? Well, he pretty much spent all his money. And he came to a point where he suddenny realized that I can't do this. I've got to go home. He says to himself, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father that I will work for him as a servant because I have shamed myself and my family. Now, what does the father do when he sees him? He runs to him. He runs full speed. Now, I didn't know if you knew this, but he would have been wearing these magnificent robes. He would have been wearing flip-flops like these, but with jewels on and things like that, you know. A few diamonds here and there. He was a man who was honored by the community around him. And to see him running would have been looked down upon. And what did he do? He sprinted. He sprinted full speed towards his son because his son was coming back. He literally hugged him. He literally would have wept right there over his son and they would have rejoiced. But they rejoiced. His son was home. His son was back and there was nothing that was going to take the joy out of his heart. And they had a party, didn't they? They had an awesome party. He killed all the best animals, the best meat. He had a spit roast going. He had like wings that you can't imagine. He had a feast for his son who had come back to him because that's all he desired. But his dad was happy. His dad was overjoyed. Guys, I wanted to show you a video as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ian McCormack. You guys heard of him?
Who is he? An Aston. He died, and he went to heaven, and he came back. He died and went to heaven for about 20 minutes. What I want to do is I want to show you a video of this guy and his testimony of what happened to him. Because I want you to see and realize that he experienced a little bit of hell and a little bit of heaven, and he came back. So I just want you to listen once David's got us up, just to his words and his descriptions of what's there. Because I want you to know why God wants us so badly. It's going to start as soon as he dies, okay? So he's already described that you've got to stand by box jellyfish and he's about to die in the hospital, okay?
I thought, well, I'll stay awake all night, but I just had no strength. I remember shutting my eyes and, well, I'll gather some more strength. And as it happened, the machine tore into my heart flat-wise and I was pronounced dead.
And you heard that?
Yeah, and I'm out of my body, alive, looking, and I'm thinking,
You heard the heart machine go,
the flat.
Yeah.
And I run into my body, and I'm alive out of it.
And you hear a doctor say?
Well, no, but you can just tell with what way everything's happened that I'm gone. And so I'm next to out of that hospital in complete darkness.
Well,
so I'm grabbing it. Didn't have a power cut.
Oh, cool.
You know, maybe the lights have gone out.
That would be the latest.
So I'm groping around the darkness looking for a light switch. Although it's so dark in here, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I bring my hand towards my face, and my hand goes straight to my face. That's impossible. Two hands, both hands. I go to my chest. Nothing. My hands, nothing. And then I would have the terrifying realization that I could be alive out of my body. The closest thing I can think of is that I've met people that had amputations and they could feel the love there. Phantom pain is called medical terms. And so I'm going, well, could my physical body be back in that hospital where I apparently just left? Where am I? And then I feel evil, the most intense evil, like invisible eyes looking at me, it's like a spiritual darkness. And I heard men screaming out of the darkness saying, shut up. Not realizing my inner thoughts of speech, and I could hear the young rabbi losing the lights out. Another man, you deserve to be, I said, deserves to be where? Another man in front of me, you're in hell. In hell? I can believe it, you know what I mean? Hell's supposed to be a party place, and I'm wrestling with this whole concept. Then I have a realization, well, this could be Hades, this could be hell. The next minute I think, well, God's in the right to send me here. And yet I reflect on the fact that I had prayed the ambulance. Next minute, radiant light enters through the darkness and pulls me out.
So you remembered your prayer.
Yeah.
And you remembered the peace that that prayer brought. And as soon as you remembered it, the light.
Yeah. And Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even with the darkness, I shall fear no evil. So evil is all around me. It couldn't touch me. So to say, great to see within me, darkness and greatness. And rise up in the light from there. Now, I didn't know scripture, but after, the scripture just came alive to me of what actually happened. I was walking in darkness and seeing a great light. Watched the ones that eased and delivered me from the deep of the darkness. Now, I've seen the sunlight come through windows as a child and first go up there. And I'm like a speck of dust going up. Isaiah 9, I think it says, as walking back and seeing a great light. So I've been drawn up, and then I see this tunnel of light. I'm now drawn into this narrow tunnel. Jesus says, small is light, narrow is the way. And I move down this tunnel of light, the speed of light. Waves of radiance come up. First wave, comfort. So that's a living emotion, it's a living light. Another way, peace. I move closer to peace of God. And the light's running. But I'm a walking bird. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. I turned my head to see what my body looked like, because in the darkness my hand had gone through my face, and I could see my arm transferring the spiritual being of light. God says, Father of light will be sons and daughters of light, transformers, which we become. I can see through my hand. And after Jesus said, up to the end, I move further down, another way of light, joy. Came out of the tunnel and saw the full radiance and glory of light. I just covered the heavens. As I stood in the presence, he called me by name. He said, Ian, you wish to return. I looked behind me, saw the tunnels fading back to darkness. I'm actually standing here. Or am I traumatized? Am I in what's called an NDE? And the dolphins tripping out of my mind. I mean, am I? Is this happening in my head? Or am I actually out of my body?
Have you ever had people critique your experience on that?
You have so many different people ask you the question. You know, I mean, were you alive? Were you dead? I said, well, I was Christ when you were dead for 15 or 20 minutes. And I came back to my body. I'm on the slab. At the time,
you were in the morgue when you came back.
Yeah. That's when my body moved from the A&E down onto the morgue. So here I am trying to reflect on, is this real? I was going back to look, I'm out of my body, I wish to return. He said, if you return, you must see in a new light. Mm. So what I knew true life. His response to me was the end, God is love, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. I see that.
So God has quoted scripture to you.
Yeah, the Lord's in the center of his life, quoting scripture directly to me. God is light. I'm thinking, well, darkness will just come from that. They call it hell. It's just the kingdom of heaven. Is that almighty God? And I was shaken. I thought, he knows my name. He knows my thought before I even speak. Then he must be all my sins. And I thought, good man. I come back, those are the waves of life came off his presence, pure love. And I can cry like a child, as waves of love and acceptance, which stammers me. I said, well, God, you can't love me, instead of telling me my sins. And each sin I told them, they're in love. And I said, well, I've cursed you. I said, drown, drugs, more and more of his love. And he showed me that all my sins have been forgiven. But I pray in the ambulance. Says because the blood of Jesus washed away all sin. And that he had forgiven me when I prayed for my heart. And then I stood before him with no sin, no darkness. I opened my eyes and I was full of liquid light, love, and pain. 2 to 3 feet around me. And pure light to pure light. But the radiance around the Lord eclipsed my heart like a globe of a firefly. And I saw this cloud, I said, God, if you love me, can I step in and see you face to face? So I walked into
the fog. At the fog.
Father, I'm so close, he loves me so much. So I walked into this cloud, and then my hand disappeared, and then I put my face in, and I couldn't see my own spiritual body, but it was covered by the radiance. It was like clouds of religious stars. As I moved through these veils, I could feel the light that I'd stepped into that was now healing my heart and hearts from the present. And as I got deeper in, I watched the waves of light open, the cloud began to part, and I saw Jesus with his hands outstretched, bare feet, casually white robes. It's as though he had taken this cloud and clothed himself in garments of this cloud of light. And when I looked towards the face of the Lord, radiance, the source of all the light, is coming out of his face. He spoke constellations, galaxies, and all resistance.
Right now?
But as he had the full man, the face of God, was here with great paradise. I mean, if you stepped on it, it would spring back. The radiance of the presence that was upon Jesus was across the entire creation. And I thought, I couldn't believe it. I was under the assumption that religion thought you'd go under a cloud. By hearts and the fact that the 10 things are the newer. And I am looking at a new earth. And above it, the kingdom of heaven. Parallel universe, really, right under it. As I'm standing there, I knew it was I just began to step forward and stand right back in front of the door closed. He said, now again, now you should see. Do you wish to remain here, or do you wish to return? I said, I'm not going to go back to four, not last week. And I looked back to say goodbye to the Lord, and the Lord showed me another. The one person who didn't talk to me, who loved me, the one person I loved, the knowledge. I thought, if I pass through to eternity now, will she know that I pray in the name of will she have any concept of her prayers or how it her son? To give his heart to the Lord his dying sickness. Would she have any way she would know this? I thought she would not. I thought how selfish would it be for me to enter eternity, my mother had to bury me, to think for all intents and purposes, he lost his mother. I thought it would break her heart. I said, I have to go back. I said, Lord, I want to go back. He said, if you return, you must see things in a new way, from an eternal heavenly perspective, not a temporary earthly life. I look back again. My father, my brother, my sister, hundreds of thousands of people here behind me, it's dear humanity. I said, oh man. He said, I want you to go back and tell them also, because most are not coming to the church anymore, and hear my name. I said, if I don't love them, I don't know these people, I don't know the family, love my mother. He said, yeah, I love them. I was like, all of them. Absolutely. Now I have to live with love in one person, let alone. I said, I don't understand that. How can I go back down a tunnel into darkness and back into my body? These are some tools you get. Now lift the drain from your eye. Now open your eye again. Let's see. Now open my eye. I'm instantly back in my body, lying on the side of the wall, with an Indian doctor holding my right foot, cupped in his left hand and a scalpel pricking the base of my foot like an angry scream. And as he saw me open my eyes, pull off an infant sound. I heard the Lord speaking to his son, I have just given your life back. It's going to fetch you all about my other life. As I turn out into the door, the nurses who broke up.
He says something right at the
very
end there, about love. Abel Cormack says, when Jesus says, if you want to go back, you need to change. Abel Cormack turns back with Jesus and he says, I don't love that. Do you remember that? He had a picture of his mother, his father, his brothers, and hundreds of thousands of people. And he says, I don't love them. But Jesus replied to him, but I love them. I love them.
God wants to cry out to those people through you.